Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
HealthyLife.net. I am Lynn Andrews, and I have a wonderful show for us today. I am so happy to have this particular radio show because I can explore all the different levels of consciousness that are being talked about, practiced, and experienced in the world today. And so many people have questions and so many answers, actually, through the process of their experience. And I'm welcoming today Robbie Holtz, who wrote a book called Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening, A Journey of Healing and Spirituality with a Remote Australian Tribe. And without further ado, Robbie, I would like to welcome you.
Well, thank you, Lynn. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you on, and it's interesting for me because I wrote a book called Crystal Woman, Woman of the Sacred Dreamtime, several years ago about working with a magnificent Aboriginal group and a woman in particular named Ginny V. And you are talking about one woman's true story of healing through Aboriginal principles and awakening to her own, your own, healing power. Can you talk to us about how you came to be in Australia? And because you're from Seattle, aren't you?
Right, right. It's a bit of a distance there, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was born in Seattle.
Oh, it's a lovely place, isn't it?
Isn't that something? We lived on Maidenborough Bay in Bellevue.
Ah, well.
Where are you in Seattle?
I'm in Edmonds, right by the ferry dock, right by the water.
Yes. Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
What a great place to be.
I love it.
And so talk to us. I'm sorry, I interrupted myself. About
okay.
Going to Australia and how you happened to be there.
Well, I was actually invited, and the reason I was invited is because my husband, Dr. Gary Holtz, had gone to Australia into the remote outback with tribes to heal himself of multiple sclerosis. And he ended up writing a book about that called Secrets of Aboriginal Healing. And
I can't hear you, sweetie. Can you repeat that?
Sure. My late husband, Dr. Gary Holtz, had gone to Australia in the outback to be healed of Aboriginal from the Aboriginals with their medicine. He had multiple sclerosis and was a quadriplegic. Is that better? Can you hear me now?
I can. You're going to have to talk right into the phone, I think.
Okay. The Aborigines gifted their healing secrets to him, and knowing that he could take it out into the world because we really needed their help. And then we spent many, many years teaching this beautiful wisdom on how to heal, and the Aborigines became aware of this and invited me to participate in ceremonies in the outback. They decided to open up their ceremonies to a few women, white women, from around the world, and so there were about maybe 12 or 20 of us women who were invited from all over, and I brought a friend with me from the United States, and that's how I ended up in the outback.
Gosh, it's so interesting. Your husband, was he healed?
Well, he went into the outback as a quadriplegic in a wheelchair with no feeling from the neck down. He'd been numb for 7 years. And he
came out
in 10 days' time with feeling in his body and clumsily able to walk. But more than anything, Lynn, totally transformed in body, mind, and spirit. And so he was so on fire with what they had taught him that he just spent the rest of his life teaching what they had taught him so that it would help other people.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. At some point in your marriage to Gary, you discovered, did you not, that he was telepathic?
I did.
Like the Aboriginal people, and that's one of the reasons he visited on Australia, I think, as you told me. And what is it like being married to a man who is telepathic?
Well, being married to Gary was interesting anyway, but I didn't know that he was telepathic for the first year of my marriage to him, which was very interesting. I would find myself all of a sudden craving ice cream and suggesting, let's go get an ice cream cone. And I know that he planted that thought into my head. He was very respectful of that ability, but when he came back from the outback, now he was a physicist, and when he came back from the outback, they had really just turned his world upside down, because all of a sudden now he was believing things that couldn't be proven. They were no longer black and white. He had to realize there's a lot of things that can't be proven that exist nonetheless, and one of them is telepathy. He came back from the outback and started to have some of the same gifts that the Aborigines had, where he was telepathic to animals and to people and could see auras and chakras and all kinds of things. So he started developing those gifts, and one of them was telepathy. And I noticed that when we were sitting around the table with people, he was very quiet because he's kind of listening to what they're thinking but not saying. And to be honest, Lynn, I don't know that it's always a good thing to know what people are thinking. There's a reason that we have filters. So it was I remember one time when I first met him, I was standing at his kitchen window. We had brought my sister to be healed by him. She had a very rare disease. She was going blind. And we had a snowstorm in Seattle, which is so unusual. So we managed to truck ourselves to where he lived and went into his home so he could help my sister. And I remember looking out the kitchen window. It was beautiful. All of a sudden this thought popped into my head, wouldn't you love to live here with Gary and marry him? And I thought, no. And where did that thought come from? That was Gary throwing some, telepathic thoughts at me.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, and you did eventually marry him.
I did, but he ended up, that's one of the things that happened when he came back from the outback, is he discovered that he was a healer, that he had these gifts, and the Aborigines had taught him that. And so I had a sister back in the Midwest who was going blind very quickly. She had a very rare disease called uveitis. And she had already lost all her vision in one eye and had just a little bit of peripheral vision in the other eye. And science had nothing for her. Western medicine had nothing. And she had tried everything. And he said, why don't you send her out here to Seattle? I think I can help her. And in 4 days' time, she regained her vision again. And that, I knew that he had done that for me, Lynn, and so I just sort of felt that something flipped that switch inside of me where I just instantly fell in love with this man and knew that we would be together forever.
Oh, my gosh, isn't that wonderful? I love the way you described that, some switch.
That's exactly what it was, because I was very resistant.
It would be interesting if we could all discover that switch, wouldn't it?
And sometimes flip it the other way, yes.
Yeah. After Dr. Holt's return, your husband's return from the outback, he delivered or developed a close working relationship with the spirit beings his Aboriginal healers had introduced to him.
Yes.
Can anyone access help from these spirit beings? And if so, how do you do that?
I love that you asked me that. He learned that he had we might call her a guardian angel by his side all the time. Everyone has one, as you know. We all have at least one spirit guide or guardian angel by our side.
Don't forget
to be asked to assist. They're guarding and protecting, But there's nothing wrong with us struggling along, or, you know, that's sometimes how we learn the best. But if you ask for their help, and all you do is simply ask in your mind, ask out loud, but simply ask for their assistance, they will always help you, always. They're going to help you in the best way for all involved. But it's usually much better than what you had in mind. And I've learned to hand over my challenges, to let this higher consciousness in the form of a spirit guide or an angelic being guide me and help me. And it makes a huge difference in my life, huge difference. Actually writing a book about that right now, how to access help from your spirit guides.
That's interesting. Where did he go in Australia?
Well, we both were near Uluru, the Ayers Rock, very, very sacred vortex.
Uh-huh. And so you were kind of based in Alice Springs, sort of?
No, farther from Alice Springs. We were actually in very remote areas near Ayers Rock, Uluru. Very out there on Aboriginal protected land. I believe that he was involved with some of the Pitjantjatjara tribe. As best as I can tell, it was a very small group. As you know, these tribes are very, very small. And
yes,
they're remote, and they had come to, I think there were probably about 20 of them. And it was actually quite an honor, as you know, to be invited into their village or their existence. And so he realized that this was very special. They don't do that. And they certainly don't give their healing secrets to just anyone. But they knew that he would be able to take it out into the world. And the big guy, that's what they term God or goddess, and they do that with sort of a tongue-in-cheek. But the Aborigines will call it the big guy, it's divine source or whatever that means to you, told them to give their healing secrets to this man, that he would take it out into the world. And that's why they gifted him with this information. So
you have to talk into the phone or I cannot hear you.
Yeah, I am. I think we just have a bad connection.
Well, you were with him part of that time, were you not?
No, I didn't meet him until afterwards. That was in 1994.
Oh, that was before
I met him in
you
2001.
Met him. Oh, okay. And so, can you tell me, you know, we talk about secrets that we have learned from ancient times and from ancient, certainly their wisdom is very ancient. Can you tell me one thing that he learned that helped him specifically?
Oh, my gosh, he learned so much, Lynn. I think the thing that probably helped him the most was recognizing that he had this guardian angel by his side who was there helping, assisting when he asked. That was huge for him. So he came back from the outback and went and spent many hours communicating with this higher consciousness being, and that was a huge shift.
And was this a guardian being? How did he meet this guardian being?
When he was with the Aborigines.
What did they do to bring him to that guardian being? Do you know?
Well, I think that they, you know, they helped, the whole village helped raise his vibration, his frequency, so that he was more open and could feel this connection. And he started to actually feel her sort of tapping on different parts of his body. Like he would ask a question, and if it was a yes, he would feel a tap on a specific side of his body, his head or his hand. And if it was a no, he'd feel it on the opposite side of the body. And if it was a maybe, he'd feel it on both sides at the same time. And this is what he discovered in the outback. And then he came home and refined that and just spent a great deal of time communicating and working and being assisted. He actually ended up being a very amazing healer, but he just felt like he was a conduit for this healing. It was coming through him, and he was sort of the eyes for this angelic being to work through him. He was the conduit for the healing. And he was able to focus so that she could work through his body.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I spent all that time in Australia and was working with the spirit beings. There was one very great spirit being, Arunsha of Chiritzi, and he took me into the dream time as a spirit being and taught me how to disassemble, and he essentially disassembled me as if he were a blacksmith. And I write about that in Crystal Woman. And he put me also back together. It was not a painful process. It was just a very enlightening process that you can be disassembled in the sacred dream time and be put back together like a puzzle almost. And you come out with this extraordinary wisdom of how to fix different parts of the body that you see are perhaps holding energy that isn't flowing properly. Did he ever talk to you about that?
Yes, I think he had a sort of a similar experience, but it took him much more time to evolve to that, Lynn. He didn't get it instantaneously. It took him a while to where
yes,
he had that
takes,
sort of that same thing.
Absolutely. I had been working with the Sisterhood of the Shields for so many years
right.
on different aspects of dreaming. And certainly in Australia, the Aborigines have an incredible system that they use, and I don't pretend to be an Aboriginal healer. I just learned a great deal about healing from them, and, you know, just like your husband did. And he had different teachers, and so you learn different things. But it is there a process that he went through when he saw someone for the first time? What would he do with them?
The first thing he did is he would ask whether he was supposed to assist them or not. Was it part of their soul's intention? Were they ready to be assisted? Because especially with children and babies, it was not for us to come in and change things. They had deliberately
right.
come in to experience things. Or someone wasn't supposed to be assisted at the moment. So that was the first thing we did, is ask, are we supposed to assist? We would ask this angelic being, or he called her Julie, and got an answer right away. That's the
Who,
first thing.
Julie meaning his angelic, the angelic being?
Yes, yes.
So the same angelic being came with him from each one person after another.
Exactly. This he became aware that she was his spirit guide and that she was there assisting with everything, and especially with healing. So
mm-hmm.
that she was actually sort of doing the healing through him.
I see.
Yeah.
So
he could watch her.
He was also a channel.
He said he was
then.
Very good at focusing. That was one of the things Gary was very good at, was learning how to really stay focused. And
uh-huh.
she needed that. She needed him to be focused because he could see her lasering tumors off. He developed that ability. He could see things being lasered, and it sort of, so to speak, through him. And so he really had to stay focused, so she was able to accomplish that.
Uh-huh. Through him. That's very interesting.
Right.
Yeah, it's that's a very interesting point.
And we talk about that in the Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening, how she would work through him and how his gifts continued to expand. And I would imagine you sort of experienced the same thing, Lynn, where your gifts, as you open to them, they just keep expanding and expanding. And pretty soon he was able to just work with people and help heal them no matter where they were in the world. He didn't need to even be in the same location. He just needed to know their name and the city, and that was enough for the angel to sort of hook up to that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I work with someone, I work every day with someone, and oftentimes they're in other parts of the world, and I can see their energy field, mm-hmm. and I do my healing through the healing of the mind and the heart, and I work with the voice. When I hear a person, I suddenly, it's like they come up on a screen for me, and I can see their energy field. And in that energy field, I can see where they are blocked or where there is a dis-ease. perhaps before a disease actually develops.
Right.
And I was just wondering if he had been taught how to do that. And how did they
That's what he learned how to do.
Do you know anything about that?
Well, you know, he came back from the outback, and he would spend a lot of time in telepathic communication with the Aborigines. It didn't matter that they were across the planet. He would just connect to them all the time. And eventually in time, like you, he developed that ability where he could see inside the body. He could connect to the person on a subconscious level to find out what's the emotional core. That's a big part of what the Aborigines taught us about healing, is there's an emotional core, an emotional root to an illness.
Absolutely. There's a process of dis-ease that happens. Hold that thought, if you would be so kind, Robbie, and we'll be right back after station identification.
Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams, the dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power, learn how to access and work with your dreaming spirit council through divine power and communication, recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynandrews.com.
Here's your HealthyLife.net Green Sense tip. If you can afford to buy all organic food, focus on buying fruits and vegetables like strawberries, bell peppers, spinach, cherries, peaches, cantaloupes, celery, apples, apricots, green beans, and cucumbers, which can be heavily contaminated if they're not organic. Also, limit your use of conventional farm-raised fish, meat, poultry, eggs, and dairy products, so you can eliminate antibiotics, hormones, and pesticides. It just makes good green sense.
www.lynandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes, and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynandrews.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
We are back with Robbie Holtz, who has written a wonderful new book called Secrets of Aboriginal Healing. And I would like to ask you, Robbie, you were invited to participate in healing ceremonies with an Aboriginal tribe near sacred Uluru, Ayers Rock, and I understand you thought you had made a big mistake when you first arrived. Can you tell us about that?
You bet. And I describe all of that in the my sequel, The Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening, that I was invited to participate, which was such an honor. And the women had decided to open up their ceremonies. The men were very much against it, but the women won out. And so we were invited, and I got there, and I was so excited to come that I hadn't really thought this through. And when I actually got to Australia, as you know, the desert, it just feels like you've landed on Mars.
And it's also that feeling of old, old land.
Yeah.
As if it is about to go away, almost. When you look at the billabongs and the trees that are rotting and twisted and half alive, do you know?
Yes. It's a very harsh environment.
Tremendously. You wonder how any people could ever live there.
I know it. To be honest, when I left the desert, and I was only with them for a short time, I took the longest shower of my life because you're just so covered in dust. And I couldn't believe that they were just going to stay out there. They weren't coming in for any kind of respite. This is where they live. It's amazing. It's very, very hot. during the day and all these swarms of insects, and then at night it's absolutely freezing and there's wild pigs and wild camels and danger. We had a spider. You'll enjoy this, Lynn, because I'm sure you've experienced these sort of things too. We had a tarantula, a barking spider.
Oh, no, you don't have to tell me about that. Tell me about something else.
Oh, it was the size of a dinner plate. Its body was bigger than a fist. And it was chasing us around the campfire. So I got there, and I'm thinking, what have I done? This is just craziness. I wasn't really thinking this through, but I remember hearing a plane go overhead as I'm lying in my sleeping bag just shivering, thinking this is nuts. And hearing that plane overhead sort of brought comfort because I felt like I was in a totally different land and a totally different time.
Well, the wonderful thing is that it does transform you into another time, and it makes you think about time and timelessness.
Yeah.
And at the end of Jaguar Woman, I talk about going back to the hut that I had just left an hour ago and coming back, and the hut was in ruin like it hadn't been lived in for 20 years. And my dear friends Agnes, Whistling Elk, and Soyla were still there, but when I left, but when I came back, it had disintegrated. It was an incredible lapse of time. And when I was in Australia, I lived with the people in this woman's circle for a bit. And the first thing that they did was take off all my clothes and at night around a fire, and they passed me around from one arms to the next, and the next person touched me all over. And then they rolled me. Well, first of all, they say they don't have this anymore, but this is what they called it. They put bandicoot grease all over me, in my hair and everywhere, and then rolled me around in the ashes from the fire. Uh-huh. And I was horrified. I had no idea why or what they were doing. But it turned out that because of all the insects, because of the cold and the heat,
yes,
that it protects you.
Yes, yes.
And it was a wonderful thing, a terrifying thing. And I, you know, I'm like you. I thought, oh, my God, what have I done? But I remember they would let me leave my little white tennis shoes on. And I was totally covered in red ochre and yellow paint and everything. And ash. Just covered with ash.
Yeah.
And I would go out into the outback with Ginny V with no water. We would have our dilly bags and, you know, a couple of sacred things with us and, you know, a digging stick and so forth with a crystal on the end of it. And we hadn't had water for a day and a half. I was just incredibly frightened that we were going to die out there. And Ginny V just said, no problem, walked over to a very rocky place. She rolled back a rock, and there was water. They know where the water is.
Right, they're very tuned in, yes.
Oh, God, and there was the water, and we camped there for a few nights, and wild camels ran through the camp in the middle of the night. I know what you mean.
Oh, it's a whole other world.
Incredibly primitive and incredibly wonderful at the same time.
It is. It takes you out of this
world.
It brought
me very, very
close
to the sacred dream time and moving into other worlds of consciousness. Anyway,
yes.
Let's
get back to
you. I'm sorry, I'm rambling here.
No, I think that's fascinating. I think it's fascinating because I've heard that they do use this. I don't know what kind of an oil, or I guess it's a grease, that they put on their bodies to keep the bugs away, which, you know, is kind of repelling for the
it's
for the pain.
Yeah, and you have it on, and then the pain, I mean, you're perfectly warm and cool during the day. It was amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You need so little to exist in that environment with them.
Right.
I understand that you were not allowed to talk about the specific Aboriginal ceremonies you witnessed,
right,
but you had some experiences that were pretty unbelievable. You participated in creating thunderstorms. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, you know, I don't know whether they did this with you, Lynn, or not, but your body becomes the canvas, and they paint the body according to whatever it is they're doing or whatever their intention is. So we, again, got naked like you did. And I have to say, I don't know if you experience this, but it's so freeing to just let go of clothes and hair and makeup and not care at all about your appearance. And just, it's very
right,
freeing.
Right.
Yeah, I
yeah.
Know that.
God forbid somebody should see you. We walked into a general store after quite some time of being there, and it didn't even occur to me. I was so glad to see a place where I might get some actual, like a bottle of water or something. And I looked in a mirror and almost fainted. And, of course,
the
that poor guy
hair.
In there
I know.
Fainted,
it's,
too.
Yeah. But there is such a freedom to it. It actually felt good when you let go
yeah.
of that. Yeah,
yeah it yeah. was really quite wonderful. It was a general store. It was kind of a, he'd come up with a trailer that had different things in it. And anyway, it was an interesting experience.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
tell me,
I'm
so
sure
they painted symbols
yeah.
on your body with
we
their
did.
Intention
we painted,
of a
we painted our bodies.
Is that what happened?
And we wore a black skirt. That was all we were allowed to wear was a black skirt. And then when they called the ceremony, we would run to the ceremony site. And they were very, very powerful, and they kept building and building. And intensity, and then at the very end, you could feel there was a bit of a communication gap there. We didn't understand them. They didn't understand us. We had a liaison who could communicate to us now and then. But you could feel the vibration was increasing and the intensity was increasing. And on the last day, we created thunderstorms that just kept circling the camp and kept going around and around. And they were so intense that when we went back to the hotel after we were all finished and returned, the hotel clerk said they hadn't seen storms like that in years. And we were told that the white women had added to the energy, increased these storms, which they needed for, you know, for crops and for water source. So we were happy to do that.
Well, that's exciting. We have to leave for a moment for station identification, and I will be right back with Robbie Holtz.
www.lynnandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynnandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynnandrews.com.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power. Learn how to access and work with your dreaming spirit council through divine power and communication. Recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynnandrews.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
that the Aboriginal people believe in the power of the mind, and also that there is unlimited assistance for healing available to everybody. You have had two brushes with death, and your own miraculous healing from hepatitis C and fibromyalgia using the Aboriginal natural healing principles. Can you tell us what those were?
Sure. Well, we describe that in great detail in Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, which is why they gave this to us, so that we could help people recognize there's tremendous help out there, even if Western medicine doesn't have anything for you. The doctors told me what I had at the time was incurable, and I healed it and totally cured it anyway, because I was determined to find answers. And I think, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, it's so important to recognize there is an emotional core, an emotional root to your illness. And I may have received a blood transplant that had hepatitis C in it, and that almost killed me, and then the experimental treatment they put me on almost killed me. And I was left in such bad shape that I couldn't get out of bed for at least 9 months. I couldn't finish a sentence because I couldn't remember what I was talking about. I mean, I was really, I didn't know if I would survive, to be honest. But I had a little boy that I knew was too little to remember me, and so I was determined to stay alive and to find answers so that I could be a mother to him. And I ended up healing everything and healing and curing what they said was incurable, all of that. And I had to start finding what other ways to heal. And I discovered, like you know, that there's all kinds of answers out there. If Western medicine doesn't have anything for you, there's all kinds of things that are much more natural, much more a loving approach to the body than some of these things that seemed very barbaric. And so it took a few years, but gradually over time I was able to change my thinking, uproot that emotional. My thing was I felt guilty if I took time for myself. So I would never allow myself time to take care of my needs, to rest, to replenish. And I had to change that perspective, that mindset, and then allow that body to flourish and love it back. So we go into the how I did that in the Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening and the process involved, that the alignment of the body, mind, and spirit. They all are very involved with healing. It's not just physical. It's the emotions, and it's also there's a spiritual aspect to it. What's the soul's intention in this? Is it your soul's intention to get better? Is it your soul trying to wake you up, trying to get a message to you? So you have to pay attention to those. But I really want people to know, Lynn, that most people can heal. Despite what Western medicine tells you, most people, their bodies, the body wants to heal. The body has this innate ability to heal. It's just that they need to pay attention to how are they blocking or creating that disease in the first place. And that's
is that when you work in this way, when you, most importantly, I think, change your process of thought, that you then move out of a frequency, you shift your frequency out of the vibration where hepatitis can live.
Exactly.
And you lift that frequency, and you change. You actually heal. But oftentimes it's necessary for herbs, for essences, for oftentimes drugs of one kind or another. Got to remember, drugs come from the Great Spirit. They're all here. They are natural, in a sense.
Yes.
Even if they have synthesized them or whatever they do with drugs. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Exactly.
If you've already got hepatitis C, they've got a cure for it now that is quite extraordinary, and you have to pay like $1,000 a pill, which is horrifying. But they do have something. Now, they may have found, and I don't know this, I've not researched it, but they may have found that in research and scientific research, people are doing things now in regular medicine that is quite profound. It is not necessarily such a bad thing. they're learning what ancient shamans have known throughout history, thousands of years. But, you know, there are plants all over this world for healing. It's just we really don't know how to access them. When I was in the Himalayas, we made tinctures of different plants, and you have to know how to do it. A certain time during the night or the day when the plant flowers in a certain way, and you pick those plants that want to be picked, and you take the essence of them, and the essence of them is so powerful for healing. Did the Aborigine people give you any kind of insight into, did they give you anything physically that you could take for hepatitis C, for instance?
No, but they did gift me with their medicine. They're very generous, and they just, you know, look around their tent or whatever, and they give you, I'm sure it was medicine that they were using that they handed to me. I do agree with you, Lynn. If you're in an acute state, or if you need pharmaceuticals or you need surgery, by all means avail yourself of that. But know that the body does know how to heal, and that there are certain plants, and this is what the Aborigines will tell us, is that the plants will tell you what they heal if you're telepathic and you communicate to it. So, but I think what people need to recognize is, and you touched on this, certain emotions create certain types of cells, and those cells will vibrate at a different rate depending on what it is. And some of the lower vibrational cells become toxic to you, like guilt or self-hatred. It's a very low vibration. It slows down the chakras. It's sticky and gunky, and it's a perfect breeding ground for disease. And this is why you have to pay attention to what kind of emotions you're engaged in, because disease can't sustain in a higher vibration. If you're in love and gratitude all the time, that creates a higher vibration, a different kind of cell. Dr. Emoto showed us that. It's very functional, it's efficient, it draws and holds a lot of light. And if you're in these higher vibrational states, disease can't sustain in that. It takes a different vibration, like you mentioned.
Yeah, it's interesting. We work with the sacred wheel. And the power of the sacred wheel, to me, is that you sit in the center of that wheel, in the center of the four directions. Each direction is symbolic for. And you heal through that process, which I'll talk about in a second. We'll be right back after station identification.
www.lynnandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynnandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynnandrews.com.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
Register now for online classes with Lynn Andrews. This course, Dreaming with Your Spirit Council, is designed to help you master the art of moving within, to find the key to your dreams and the passions that you came into this life to create. In this course, you'll discover your place of true power, learn how to access and work with your Dreaming Spirit Council through divine power and communication, recognize the role that archetypes do and don't play in understanding your dreams. For more information, log on to www.lynnandrews.com.
A healthy life needs no twists. HealthyLife.net is best enjoyed straight up.
You also had fibromyalgia using the Aboriginal natural healing principles. You tapped into a healing power for that. Was that different than hepatitis C? What happened?
Well, I started out with hepatitis C from the blood transfusion, and then the experimental treatment they put me on created fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome and really severe brain damage from the experimental drugs. So I was really, I not only had the hepatitis raging, now I added all these other things to it. So, you know, again, in Western medicine then had nothing for me. The experimental drug was their last thing they could throw at me. This was back in 86, 87, I believe. So
wow.
I had to, like I said, find answers and discover there's all kinds of answers and really stay focused on being well rather than staying focused on the disease and the pain and staying focused on what it was I wanted to achieve. That's one of the five steps the Aborigines gave us.
What were the five steps? Can you briefly outline those?
Sure. And again, we go into this in more detail in the Secrets of Aboriginal Healing. But the five steps, and the other thing is, Lynn, they use these five steps for everything, not just for healing, but for anything in their life. The first step is willing. Are you willing to be better? Because some people have even some subconscious reasons why they don't want to get well. They don't want to totally heal.
That's true. Usually.
Yes, they don't want to. Well, there's a number of reasons. So the first step is, are you willing? The second step is having an awareness of what are your emotional cores that have created this. With me, I needed to change my mindsets about taking care of myself. And I needed to be aware that this was here in my life, and this is what the Aborigines teach us. These are opportunities to shift and grow. These are blessings in disguise. It's just that it doesn't seem like it at the time. So that comes into the, you have to be aware of why is this here? Why is this on your path? And the next step is acceptance. You may not like it, but again, it's here for a reason. It's here to help you grow. And to be honest, it was learning how to heal this and shifting was really learning how to fall in love with myself and loving myself better. It was a huge shift. The fourth step is, empowerment. Take your power back and just don't let that disease or somebody take your power from you and tell you that you can't heal that. Your body knows how to heal. It wants to heal. And most of us are supposed to be healing. Most of us are not supposed to be sick. It's just that our emotions have created enough of a toxic situation, our body can't handle it anymore. So it's
That's
an awareness
right.
about that. And then the fifth step is focus. Focus on what you want. Focus on that end result and see yourself well and move to that one step at a time.
So that's really a great guide for healing. The issue is, however, what you bring to that healing. If you have, let's say, had abuse in your life, it's very, very difficult to see the truth of who you are because you've always been trying to be invisible in a sense. And you've been most likely, if you come out of abuse, you've been living somebody else's idea of how you should live. So finding your own dream and healing is really difficult. So in our work in shamanism, we go to the base of that, of I put you on the sacred wheel, and we find out if maybe you felt abandonment, maybe you felt very subtle things in your early life that actually were abuse for you. And once you heal that, you begin to realize that you've been seeing through a veil of ignorance, if you will, that really keeps you from seeing the real dream that you want to manifest in your life.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of illness comes out of that. And it's wonderful, the things that you're sharing with us, and I'm sure you'll have extraordinary success with all of this because people need it so badly, Robbie.
Yes. I absolutely agree with you. There's a lot running in the background. We don't realize.
Yeah.
And we have to become aware of that.
Statistics
and not let
show
it run
there
on
is
autopilot.
A growing trend of people becoming spiritual but not religious, known as, this is interesting, nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They're becoming
the nuns,
unaffiliated with churches while searching for a deeper spiritual connection and purpose. What advice would you offer those looking for spiritual growth and inner peace?
I think recognizing that you are an amazing, extraordinary, divine, luminous being, so brave for being here, and not be buying into what the mind is feeding you, like you touched on earlier. It's just that conditioning.
I can't quite hear you.
Things differently. You're this amazing, extraordinary, divine being, and that this is a soul's journey, and what comes to you is to help you explore and grow. And that takes it from that mind's realm into more of, okay, what can I grow? What's this here to teach me?
Robbie, you're breaking up and you're very far away. Are you talking into your phone?
I am. I think we have a bad connection today.
I think so, too. But anyway, go ahead, because you're sounding better now.
Okay. I'll try to speak much, much louder. I guess it's for people to recognize, to step back and observe that mind rather than buy into it, and realize we are extraordinary, divine, luminous beings. And this is designed to help us grow, designed to help us learn. And so it's about seeing it from the soul's perspective rather than the mind's perspective. That's a different shift.
Well, and many people are experiencing an overwhelming number of problems in this toxic, chaotic, changing world that we live in. We're learning to live in a time of great intensity and extremes, and what's an easy thing anyone can do in their daily life to help create a better world?
Great question, Lynn. I think it pay attention to what kind of energy are you adding. Are you going to add more fear to it, or are you going to add more compassion, more love, more patience? Because we're all creating energy and sending it out, and it's not only affecting our body, it's affecting those around us. And so it's about paying attention to what am I adding. And I think if you live by that, making life-affirming, compassionate choices, that will help change the planet in a very positive way. Life-affirming, compassionate choices, especially when you're making buying purchases in the grocery store or in your life. Is this life-affirming? Is this compassionate choice? That will shift things on the planet.
Well, I think that's true. I really do. And what is, Robbie, what is the one thing you would like our listeners to take away from the Aboriginal teachings about enlightenment?
They see, they know, they feel, and you probably have experiences too, Lynn, where we're all interconnected. We're all just different forms of this, different facets of the oneness. They can see that, and that's one of the things I got to experience in those ceremonies, is I could see how we just sort of rolled into the next, that we were all one, we were all connected. That makes it
a difference. Can you describe a ceremony that made you feel that?
One of the ceremonies, towards the end, all of a sudden I saw this little dragonfly, and I could see that it just sort of melted into the rock, which melted into the dirt, which melted into the sky. I don't know how best to describe it other than that it just felt like they were all sort of, they had gone from being three-dimensional to all just sort of melding together, and you realized, you could feel it to your bones. You just knew we're all one. We're all part of the same thing. It just looks like we're separate.
That's a beautiful description, and unfortunately, I think we're ending our... Do we have another 8 minutes, Jay? Okay. Well, Robbie, it has been wonderfully enlightening to speak with you, and thank you so much for offering your ideas and writing down beautiful things for people to read. In your new book, Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening. And how can people reach you?
They can go to holzwellness.com, H-O-L-Z, wellness.com.
That's fabulous, and thank you again for sharing. And everybody, thank you so much for listening today. And may there be beautiful, soft winds at your back. And never forget to follow your sacred dream. And until next time, so much love and blessings from me and from the Sisterhood of the Shields. Namaste, everyone.
www.lynnandrews.com is the website you need to stay in touch and up to date with Lynn Andrews and her busy schedule. Besides all of the information about online classes with Lynn Andrews, you can find her upcoming appearances, lectures, and workshops. Also at lynnandrews.com, you'll find additional offerings, including books, meditations, Joshua Tree tapes and CDs, workbooks, and sacred healing cards at the online store. That's www.lynnandrews.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the Internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.